Thanks, everyone. You can take your seats. Bless God. Having a good Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Like a lizard drinking. That's it, mate. I was going to say that. Bless God. How about we just pray and we'll get into this word this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you're so kind. We thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. Lord, we just, especially just want to acknowledge you and your presence in this place this morning, God. Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our hearts this morning for what you want to reveal to us. And Lord, I just speak against and come against any distractions this morning, God. Anything that would come into our minds, Lord, to take us away from what you want to reveal, what you want to place in us, Lord, what you want to bring alive in us this morning, Lord. So, Lord, we're grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Lives transformed. Who's having a good time with this series? Come on, be honest. Is there anyone that's been like, oh, this is hard work? Huh? That's okay. I'm going to explain a little bit about that this morning, though. How about we go to Romans first? We're going to, a lot of these scriptures we've heard as we've been journeying through this series, but we're going to bounce around a few new ones this morning. I just believe God's going to continue to do a work in us. Amen. So Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. This is in the NLT version. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." Like what Pastor Tim was just talking about. Amen? Amen. "Because we are saved. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Verse 2, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." What's a good word? Amen? Amen. So transformation is what we've been talking about. In other words, change. All right, so one and the same thing, right? Transformation and change. And I don't know if you've sort of picked it up, but there is definitely something going on in the spirit right now around this. Things are happening, you know. But what I want to encourage you with is that, you know, there is grace to jump on this train and just go. I just want to encourage you that there is grace for this. Jump on. Turn to the person next to you and say, jump on. Because what, I don't know, again, I don't know about you, but you know, there's always going to be a tension when something's going on in the spirit, okay? And that's because of our humanity, all right? Our humanity, you know, our flesh generally doesn't like change. Anyone agree with that? Because what happens with change is it often means discomfort. Amen? It often means letting go of what's familiar and trusting God with the unknown. Our flesh, what it likes to do is it likes to cling to routine. It likes to cling to safety. You know, it likes to cling to, you know, predictability. Are you hearing me this morning?
Yes.
But, someone say but. Deep within you, there's a part of you that is truly you. It's called your spirit. Amen? It's your spirit. And there's something different happening there, okay? Your spirit, unlike your humanity and unlike your flesh, it yearns for transformation. It longs to grow. It desires to go higher. It desires to reflect more of Jesus. Amen? In Romans 8, we'll go there. Romans 8, verse 28 to 29, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren." So in your spirit, there's this desire to reflect Jesus more. It's how we're built. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's how you're built. So I want you to catch this and write this down if you can. But our humanity resists transformation, but our spirit longs for it. Because deep within us, God has planted a desire to be transformed into his likeness. Amen? So when you gave your life to Jesus, you were born again, right? You were born again. You were saved. But being born again isn't the end. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It is literally the start. And you know what it is the start of? Transformation. It's the start of transformation. And like Cara mentioned last week, God loves you the way that you are. But he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. That was a good word, Cara. Thank you for that. He loves you way too much to leave you the way you are. So we're going to have a look at Galatians chapter 5 now, verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. This says this. The sinful man, the sinful nature. All right, so just before I mentioned that there's this tension that happens. That goes on. It's this little wrestle, you know, between our flesh and our spirits, right? Galatians 5:17 helps us understand that. It says, the sinful nature wants to do evil. That's our humanity, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly, someone say constantly, constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. Okay, so there's this tension, like I said, there's this wrestle that's going on. Okay, and you know, I can't speak for everyone, I can speak for myself, but there's definitely, you know, been times in my life, and you know, even right now, there's this struggle, there's this internal tug of war that's taking place, you know, where, you know, one part of me wants to grow closer to God, right? But there's this other part that wants to stay comfortable. Anyone ever felt that way? Anyone feeling that way at the moment? You know, your flesh says, you know, your flesh is like, you know, just take it easy. All right? Just take it easy. And sometimes it says, you know what, don't forgive, all right? Don't forgive. You know, you've been hurt before, right? We've had these sorts of feelings, these sorts of thoughts. But, you know, our spirit, what it says is keep trusting. Keep trusting. Keep loving. Amen? Keep loving. Keep believing. This is what our spirit says, right? The true us. Someone say true us. But here's what you need to know. That even though this sort of stuff happens, there's this battle that's happening on the inside, I want to encourage you with this. It's not a bad thing. It's actually not a bad thing. We just read a scripture in Galatians. We said, Paul is a pretty clever man. You know, this battle goes on constantly. There's this tension that happens, right? So it's not a bad thing when you have this struggle, this tug of war going on the inside of you because of this. It's actually proof that God's on the inside of you. Amen? It's proof that he's there. It's proof that he's actually alive in you. Because you got to know that before you received Jesus, before you started the journey of transformation, there was no struggle. True? There was no struggle, right? But now, someone say now. Now, the Spirit, your Spirit, His Spirit has awakened something new on the inside of you. And you know what that's called? That's called the new creation. That's become alive. That's become awake. So all of a sudden, the struggle begins. Look at, you know 2 Corinthians verse 5, 17 very well. Our chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's something new, something's awakened on the inside of you. Hence the tension. Now you think you can't. I can't believe anyone hasn't said this yet or used this example yet. But I don't think we can ever use or speak or talk about transformation without using the illustration of the caterpillar in and the cocoon. Okay, the metamorphosis. All right, the tension. Okay, that takes place. So you think of a caterpillar. All right. What would happen if you interrupted its time in the cocoon because you thought, it can't be comfortable in there? What would you do? You'd kill it, right? You would kill it. But before you kill it, the first thing you're doing is you're actually disrupting or stopping the transformation or the metamorphosis from taking place, right? That's the struggle. That's the struggle. Amen? So, think about it. Self-assessment. Where in your life have you been resisting God? Where in your life have you been resisting what God is trying to change? You know, is it an attitude? You know, is it a relationship even? Is it a habit? We need to be asking ourselves these questions, right? Because I want to encourage you with this. The areas where we resist the most are often where God wants to bring the most growth. So ask yourself, during this time, we've got to get, practical with this. This can't just be like a good series of messages, and there have been a good series of messages and we've been learning lots of stuff, but we've got to do something with it. Amen? We've got to jump on the train. The train's not stopping. Amen? We have to do something with it. So we need to ask ourselves these questions because when we do, those areas are going to be revealed to us. Ask yourself, What are those areas? What are those things that I'm resisting? Because those areas of resistance where God brings the most growth. But guess what else? It also becomes your greatest testimony. Also becomes your greatest testimony. Isn't that good? Come on. So, the world says change the outside. You see it all the time. Instagram, I don't have Instagram. Facebook. Get rid of it, whatever. But social media, all these things, we're constantly bombarded and seeing things where, change your outside, get fitter, wear this makeup, wear this spray tan, all this sort of stuff. So change the outside. This is what the world says. Change the outside. Why? Because the inside will follow. It'll make you feel better on the inside if you change the outside, right? This is what the world says. But God says this. He says, let me change the inside and the outside will reflect it. Let me change the inside and the outside will reflect it. Remember that within us, God has planted a desire to be transformed into His likeness. It's in there. That's what shines when we allow Him to do a work on the inside of us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, Kara used this scripture last week as well. But seek first. Someone say, seek first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't forget that part. She made that point very clear. Don't forget that part. And his righteousness. And all these things. Someone say, all these things shall be added to you. So you know what his righteousness is? His holiness. Right? We're seeking that. But you know what else it is? It's his likeness. It's his likeness. His righteousness is his holiness, but it's also his likeness. So stick that in that scripture, but seek first the kingdom of God and his likeness. So we need to be seeking his likeness. Seek first him. Someone say, seek first him. All right, so you know what all these things are? The part that says, you know, and all these things, you know what they are? You know what all these things are? Anyone actually asked what that is? What are all these things? Well, I can tell you what they're not, okay? I can tell you what they're not. They are not anything that has no eternal purpose and no eternal consequence. That's certainly what all things are not. Amen? Amen. If they don't have eternal purpose and they don't have eternal consequence, then they are not included in this. So you got to think about things that are, you know, that's talking about those things where that moths and rats destroy. That's those things. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is heaven's treasures. You know, scripture says where your treasure is, your heart, or where your heart is, your treasure is. Is that right? That where your treasure is, your heart is also. It's talking about heaven's treasures. And you know what that actually is? That's Jesus. That's his likeness. When he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you, what is he talking about? There's nothing better than a reflection of Jesus. Imagine living your life with his kindness. Imagine living your life being able to love people the way he loves people. Imagine being able to live your life with the wisdom that he carries. Imagine being able to live your life, you know, with the compassion and the empathy that he carries. Imagine being able to, that's all these things. That's what you get when you seek first his kingdom and his what? Righteousness. Come on. So what do we do? Someone say, what do we do? All right. Are you all right? I need a drink of water. Don't often have a drink of water. Probably need a little bit more drink of waters. Okay. All right, so what do we do? Someone say, what do we do? Right. You already said that. Why are you saying it again? All right, so encouraging you. It is a work of the Spirit. This is a work of the Spirit. Okay, you often hear mum say, you know, she often uses this term where she says we have to be in cooperation with the operation of the Holy Spirit. That's a good one because it's like catchy words, you know, like and rhyming words. So it's easy to remember. But we have to be in cooperation with the operation with the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But firstly, what you need to understand is that transformation doesn't start with behavior, okay? Transformation doesn't start with behavior. It starts with belief. It starts with belief. You see, your life will always move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Okay? Your life goes where you think. Okay? And that's why in Romans 12 verse 2 it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's such an important point because your thought gives you the direction that your life will go. The most dominant thought you have will define and direct the way that your life goes. Okay? So transform your mind. It starts there. So, you know, you think of things like real simple illustrations, you know, and we hear them all the time, like you think small, then you'll live small. right? If you think defeated, then you'll live defeated, right? Real simple, but it's a reality. It's truth. That's why it's important that we transform our mind, okay? And so what do we need to transform our mind to? The Word of God. See, when we transform our mind using the Word of God, then our lives will begin to live and we'll begin to experiencing the promises of God. Amen? Someone say amen. So when you think according to the Word of God, you'll begin to live according to His promises. Isn't that good? So that's why we need to renew our minds, the way that we think, with His Word. You see, our lives are transformed when we let God's Word, okay, and hear me, not our experiences. Someone say, not our experiences. We let God's Word, not our experiences, define our reality. Okay? His Word becomes the foundation that shapes how we think, live, and believe, and we hold on to His promises. Our minds are renewed, and our lives and our hearts are filled with hope. That's what happens when we live according to His Word, when we think according to His Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Think of it this way. Another illustration. Everyone got a phone? Hold your phone up. If you have, you don't have to hold up. If it's too hard for you to get to it, that's okay. But we all got a phone, right? Okay. So who knows, every phone, we're getting techie here. Every phone has an operating system. Okay. I don't know what OS they're up to, 17 or something. All right. That's pretty wild. Imagine having OS 1 still on your phone. There's some problems there. And the reason is this, okay, listen to me. Every phone, they all have operating systems, okay? And the reason the operating systems are there is to obviously help the phone run. But what you'll find is you'll get operating system 17 and then, you know, the phone will say, oh, the update needed to operating system 17.1012. Or, you know, and then you get another one and it'll go operating system 17.0113. Like it, and continually updating. Anyone ever notice that? All right. Well, you know what that why they do that? Okay, give you new features and stuff on your phone, but to make the phone run smoother. That's the reason that the software updates, okay? So what's going on? All right, your phone is updating to help it run smoother, but I don't know if you ever noticed, like you update your phone, but the outside doesn't change. It stays the same. Right? It stays the same. The operating system is updated and the software, you know, it's renewed, all right? But the outside doesn't change. Okay? And the same's true for us. All right? Unless we're allowing Holy Spirit to do a spiritual upgrade or spiritual update on the inside of us, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. So when your mind says things like, you know, I can't, the Word says what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See the difference? Thinking. Direction. Amen? You know, when the Word says, you know, when the world says, you know, or when your past says, you know, you failed, all right, what does the Word say? It says that you are a new creation. Amen? You know, when the world says or when fear hits you and whispers in your ear and says, you know, you're alone, well, what does the Word say? He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. You see the difference? Come on, we need to be renewing our mind daily. You know, transformation, it's a journey. So we need to be renewing our mind daily, replacing, you know, the lies with truth. So transformation starts not with behavior, but with belief. Transformation starts by letting the Holy Spirit renew your thinking. Amen? Amen. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You holding on? We're going all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, "Now the Spirit of the Lord," oh, sorry, "now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is." It's funny, we know this. Heard about this morning, just a little bit. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? So this is the second part of what do we do. And I mentioned it at the start. We need to cooperate. We need to cooperate. See, transformation isn't something that we force, okay? It's not something we force. It is something we surrender to. Transformation is something that we surrender to. The Holy Spirit is who we surrender to. Amen? The more we yield, the more the Holy Spirit can do a work in us. Remember, Jesus loves you the way that you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way that you are. So our role, well, what do? We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in cooperation with the operation of the Holy Spirit, right? We need to stop fighting for control and start yielding to his leading. Amen? All right, you're ready for another example. The pottery. Anyone use? We've all done pottery. If put your hand up, you haven't done pottery ever in your life. That's impossible because you've all been to school in Australia. Your mum and dad might still have that potted, weird-looking mug. The one I made. Yeah, it's still there. It's probably perfection if I made it. Anyway, no, just kidding. All right, so think of a potter, all right? A potter shaping clay. Seems pretty cool. What will probably end up happening, you'll start getting like pottery people, you know, showing up on your phone now making stuff. It's like, oh, they're interested in pottery. But if you think of a potter shaping clay, right? The clay, you know this, but pottery 101, just in case you forgot the lesson you did in kinder. But pottery 101, clay can't shape itself. Okay? It can't shape itself. But here's what you need to understand is that if the clay resists, okay, all right, and usually it resists because it's not wet enough, okay, it starts to get firm, you know, it hardens. So if it resists, it hardens, right? And the potter can't work with it. But when the pottery, when the clay stays soft, you know, pliable, surrendered, someone say surrendered, that's when it becomes a masterpiece. All right? That's when it becomes a masterpiece. So some of us, you know, we might be praying, hey, God, change me. Okay? You know, I hope that's your prayer. All right? Change me. Why? Because we're seeking him. We're seeking his likeness. That's where we're going. So God, change me. But some of us might be praying, you know, God, change me. But we're holding on to things that resist his hands. Okay? We're holding on to things that resist his hands. And you need to know this, that surrender is not a weakness. Okay? Surrender is not a weakness. It's literally a doorway to strength. It's a doorway to strength. Amen? So say this with me. You ready? Lord, I surrender my comfort. My control, and this one, my timeline. Transform me from the inside out. Amen. 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 You know, we need to ask Holy Spirit daily, you know, what do you want to shape in my life? You know, what do you want to shape in my life today? What do you want to shape in me today? We need to be asking Holy Spirit this daily, because transformation isn't this one giant leap. All right? It's something that happens in those daily moments of surrender. Amen? Those daily moments of surrender. Now, Paul. Someone say Paul. You remember he was called Saul first? Anyway, I thought that's quite funny, actually. Everyone thought of that? Like, of all the names, Saul to Paul. Like, there's got to be a reason for it. Anyway. But Saul was a man, and we know, and if you want to look at his story, Acts 9, 1 to 22. We haven't got the time to go through the whole scripture, but in brief, Saul was, you know, he was a man who was utterly convinced that he was doing right when he was Saul. Okay? You know, persecuting Christians, you know, in the name of a religion. All right. He was killing them. He was after them, and he believed he was doing the right thing. Okay, he had all the status, knowledge, and power. Like he was, you know, just doing his thing, and he believed it was the right thing to do. But someone say, but when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, everything changed. And we know this. We know this story. You know, the light of Jesus, you know, didn't just knock him down, but it opened his eyes to the truth, all right? It opened his eyes to the truth. And you know, for 3 days, he went blind, okay? So he sat there blind, powerless, you know, humbled and surrendered, okay? Surrendered. There was nothing he could do. He was surrendered. Someone say surrendered. And that's where his transformation took place. That's where his transformation it began, in that moment of those 3 days of him being blind, right? And then when Ananias laid hands on him and called him Brother Saul, he yelled out, Brother Saul, you know the story, scales fell off his eyes. And what happened? The persecutor became the preacher. The persecutor became the preacher, okay? And the enemy of the gospel literally became its greatest messenger. In those 3 days, transformation took place. In those 3 days, where he was powerless, where he was humbled, where he was in surrender, the transformation took place. Now, listen, this is what I want you to notice. Notice this, that transformation didn't happen in a moment of emotion. Okay? It didn't happen in a moment of emotion. It happened through surrender. It happened through renewal. It happened through obedience. See, sometimes don't want to say anything negative about people's experiences, okay? But the transformation that we're talking about here isn't something that happens in a moment of emotion. It comes through surrender, daily surrender. God didn't change, you know, he didn't change Paul's past because of him being all emotional. Okay? He changed him because he surrendered. He was in a place of surrender. Amen? So his past, you know, thing too is that he didn't change his past. He couldn't change his past. What he did is he redeemed it for his purpose. He redeemed it for his purpose. So just as Saul became Paul, what your surrender does is it positions you for purpose. It positions you for purpose. Your surrender allows God to pull you into your purpose. Amen? So when God transforms your life, you know, it becomes a light to others. It becomes your testimony. That's why we need to relinquish control of those things that we're holding on to. Allow Him to move. Those things of greatest resistance He wants to move, which will become then your greatest testimony. Amen? Let's look at Matthew 5. We're almost done. Matthew 5. So when God transforms a life, it becomes a light to others. That's what we want, right? You know, which leads us to living as a testimony of transformation. Matthew 5:16. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So what is that saying? When your life changes, people notice. When your life changes, people notice. And this is important. Grab this. Remember Paul, humility and surrender? We need to be humble too. Because you got to understand that true transformation doesn't need to announce itself. It doesn't need to announce itself. It reveals itself. Amen. It reveals itself. You know, you become, remember what we're going for here, His likeness. His likeness, Jesus, His likeness. So you become more patient. You just become it. You become more peaceful. You become more kind. You become more loving. You become more compassionate. You become those things. It reveals itself. True transformation just reveals itself. You don't need to go, hey, I'm so much more patient these days because of the Lord. You know, look, we don't do it. It's just revealed. Amen. It reveals itself. Someone say it reveals itself. You know, you begin to forgive quicker. Who could do with that? You know, love deeper, serve others without being recognized or without needing recognition. That's a big one. Hey, you know what? You are truly transformed once that's happened, let me tell you. Being cheeky. It's true, though. You know, that's transformation. It's not perfection, but it's transformation. Amen? We can't be perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. Right? But we're in progressing in the right direction. Amen. So transformation, wrapping up, isn't a one-time moment. It's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey. You know, every day, someone say every day. Every day. This is what He does, man. Every single day, the Holy Spirit is drawing you closer to the image of God, the image of Christ. That's what He does, because He loves us. Loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Good work, Ara. And you know what? Your spirit is crying out for it. Your humanity resists it, but your spirit is crying out for it. It's yearning for it. It's yearning for more of Him. It's yearning for it. And you know what that is? That's the sound that transformation is taking place. Praise the Lord. So stay in the process. Stay in the process. Don't jump off the moving train. You hurt yourself. Stay in the process. You know, don't rush to the cocoon. Well, they were a chrysalis. Is that what they call them? Don't rush the cocoon. You know, something amazing is taking place. Something beautiful. Something incredible. So don't rush it. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working on the inside of you, transforming you from glory to glory. So don't rush it. Let Him do His thing. Amen.